You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone pastors the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hope of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. Great to have you back with us. And today we have a special guest for you, and Brother Wolven, excited.
Thank you. Yes, I am very special.
He's a special needs kind of guy. But we have a special guest, a good friend of mine, Brother Kurt Skelly. Good to have you with us on the podcast. Welcome to Tim Talks.
It is good to be on Tim Talks. I had to actually ask you guys what Tim stood for. Yeah. So why don't you remind our audience what Tim stands for?
It stands for Taking an Interest in Ministry. And what we're trying to do, Brother Kurt, is we're just trying to help other guys, especially young guys, by just sharing some of the experiences that we've had in ministry. We do lose track a little bit sometimes and tell a few comical stories as well. Yeah. Not that you would have any.
No, that shocks me.
It shouldn't, really. And I know you don't have anything comical in your life, but if anything comes up, let us know. We'd be glad to
have something very comical in my life. It's called my friend Al Snow.
Wow, that is funny.
That's sort of sad, too.
It is rather sad.
It's kind of a sad mix. Well, listen, everybody needs an Al Snow in their life, and you got one.
So absolutely.
Good for you. Brother Skelly, done a great job preaching here at the Youth Conference at the Great Lakes. As always, I always enjoy being with you, keeping it real. To me, I think that's important today. One of the things we want to talk to you about and ask you about is making a transition. You were pastor of a great church in Natrona Heights, and God called you from there. No troubles, no problems. Things are going great, seemingly the imperfect time to leave, but God called you.
A few warrants out for his arrest, but other than that.
Yeah, but there's nothing to solidify
but
that.
But they were
yet.
All based upon misdemeanors.
Tell us, how did you know it was time to go, God's time for you to go?
Well, there were a number of factors that led up to my leaving. I believe that God is in the business of moving people. Throughout the Bible, God moved people. And the moves of God in the Bible were rarely moves that made sense. So if we're looking for a cookie cutter formula for when moves make sense, then this is not the conversation. But a couple things that to me were absolutely core were, number one, God did not have to call me to stay at Harvest. You know, so if you're out there and you're thinking, you know, is God leading me away from my ministry, God leading me to another ministry, that could very well be true, but God doesn't have to confirm your staying. He Amen. Really needs to confirm your leaving. Mm-hmm. For me, it was a process. The process began with an unsettled feeling that I really couldn't explain. And I never want to make a decision on feelings alone, but it was an unsettling that caused me to think, to pray. And in that unsettled period of my life, God directed me to preach through the book of Acts to our church. And I'm a firm believer in preaching through a series of messages, and the book of Acts obviously is just there of paramount importance to a local church. So I began preaching through the book of Acts. I actually preached a message in January of 2016 entitled When God Says Go. And it was a message on the life of Philip. God led Philip in Acts chapter 8 in four ways. He led him through circumstances, and the persecution. He left Jerusalem. He led him through the word of God. Remember, he called him from Samaria to go to the backside of the desert, which didn't make sense, by the way, at least humanly speaking. And then he led him through the voice of the Spirit, go join thyself to the chariot. Mm-hmm. And then finally, the Bible says he transported him from that desert to a place called Azotus, which is on the, I know, Al, you do Israel trips. Yeah. And so right on the coast of the Mediterranean mm-hmm. Sea. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, that last move is the same word that we get our word rapture from. So he transported him out. So think about the way that God leads us. He leads us sometimes through uncontrollable circumstances. You know, maybe you're a teenager and your dad got a job transfer and now you're moving. You couldn't control that. Then you know that's the will of God. The will of God in our life, if things happen in your life that are outside of your control, you can rest that that's God's will.
Amen.
Then we can know one day, Lord willing, we'll be raptured. And that'll be wonderful. So the rub is those two middle ones. How do you ascertain the word of God in a move? And how do you understand ascertain the Spirit's voice? So I preached that message thinking it was just the next message in my series,
right,
not realizing that that would be the message that God would use in my own life. And a series of events happened that next week that led me into considering God might be moving me from Harvest Baptist Church, some other opportunities, and some trusted counselors that called me and that I allowed to speak into my life. So anyway, to make a long story short, I continued to preach through the book of Acts for the next 3 months, Acts 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, preaching messages, all of which were stirring me, all of which were helping to guide me. And then I had to make a decision on another opportunity. Actually, it was in California,
yeah,
to pastor a church. And we thought maybe God was leading us. And I know that pastors have different philosophies on this, so I'm not judging anybody who's listening. But for me, I felt disingenuous candidating at a church behind my church's back. And that's the way I viewed it. I thought, Lord, mm-hmm, if you're leading me to consider another ministry, then really this is two decisions. I need to figure out what you're doing with the ministry in which I'm currently serving, and then and only then should I ethically be able to consider another ministry. Mm-hmm. So I knew that that was a week I just had to make a decision. And I prayed, I fasted, I went to the Word of God. I read the book of Proverbs that week looking for extra wisdom. I read books of the Bible on transition like Joshua, even Nehemiah. But you know, I came up empty and I was frustrated. I was just sure that God was going to give me that magic verse and give me that golden quote. I didn't have any of that. So now it's Saturday and I have to make the decision today, and I had no peace. I was up all night, couldn't sleep. I got up that morning, and typically I like to get ahead of my messages, and on a Saturday I'm finished for Sunday. But on this particular week, I had done much Bible reading, much praying, but I hadn't done anything to prepare for my services at Harvest. So here's what I said to the Lord, almost verbatim. I said, Lord, I don't know what you're doing in leading me to stay or to go. I just don't know. But Lord, one thing I do know is people need to be fed tomorrow. So I opened my Bible to Acts chapter 13, which was my next chapter.
Right.
And the first four verses were, God said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them. And, you know, Brother Wolman, Brother Sohn, it's one of those messages where you didn't write it.
Yes.
You didn't, but God just unfolded it on the topic when God changes your address. Mm. Matter of fact, the message was God had given me so much in that Saturday morning that I preached that also that Sunday night. Really, in essence, it was my resignation letter from Harvest, those two sermons. People didn't know it. I actually resigned that next Wednesday. But God gave me six principles. I don't know that I can remember all of them just off the top of my head right now, but principles like this, six questions that I had to answer right there from the text in order for me to ascertain, is God leading me away? One was, am I faithfully serving where I am? You know, God used Barnabas and Saul, called them away, but he called them away from an area of faithfulness. I asked myself the question, am I faithfully serving where I am? God leads us from a place of activity to a place of activity. He's not in the business of calling people that are inactive. He's calling people that are active. Sometimes that activity is the backside of the desert seeking God, but he's going to call us. Mm-hmm. So am I faithfully serving where I am? I ask in that process, I ask questions like this. You know, is my heart for serving the Lord in ministry. Sometimes our heart is for ministry, but not serving the Lord in ministry. So I had to ask that question. I had to ask questions like, you know, how do you ascertain the voice of God's Holy Spirit? The Spirit said unto them. How do, is that some mystical thing? And so I applied this rubric to that. I said, okay, to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, you know, how does the Holy Spirit work? Well, he always glorifies Christ. So is what I'm considering something that's going to honor and glorify Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. He always works through his word. Is what I'm considering consistent with what the word of God teaches on this topic? You know, so I'm asking these questions. How does the Spirit of God work? How does he? And I went through, and I'd encourage you listeners, if you want to see that, just get on Harvest's website and look for that. When God changes your address, it was crystallizing for me. And God leading me away from Harvest. And let me just say this. Emotionally, I'm still not there. Mm. Emotions are procrastinators. You know, I made a decision based upon what I believe in faith God called me to do. But I'm telling you, emotions take a while to catch up.
Yes.
Yeah. Harvest Baptist Church will forever have a grip on my heart. Mm. It'll forever squeeze me. You know.
To give the listeners a little bit of understanding, a little bit of background, in case they do not know, tell us a little bit about how long you were there. It wasn't as though you were moving from one ministry to another to another.
Right, right. No, we went to Harvest. Wanda and I went to Harvest in 1996, and we were there for 20 years.
Amen.
Ironically, 20 years to the day.
Wow.
The night I resigned, and we knew all this in hindsight. You think, see how God kind of puts his stamp on things. The night I resigned, that Wednesday night, 20 years to the day before was the night that they voted on me, and I got a phone call in my little apartment in Connecticut from the pulpit committee that I had been voted in 42-2 to become the pastor at Harvest Baptist Church. And we took our little family, three boys, and Wanda was pregnant with our daughter, and we went to Harvest, and we spent 20 years there. And saw the Lord do some wonderful things.
Amen.
And so, yeah, it was very much like saying goodbye to a child. I liken my departure at Harvest to my dropping my children off at Bible college and walking away. That same feeling.
Yeah. Again, just for clarity, there wasn't a church calling you. There wasn't, you know, you had no real plan. I mean, we talked about that. What are you going to do? I don't know. You talked about maybe taking a year and doing some writing, different things, but no clear direction. That, to most guys, that's got to be frightening. We all like the security of the ministry as well, and especially for your wife. How did your wife do all that?
You know, Wanda is a much better Christian than I. She, and I mean that, you know, sometimes people say that, right. But I mean, she just is.
Let me just clarify that most people are a better Christian than you are.
You know, that is very true. That is very true. I'm the best Christian in this booth. But you're right. In typical situations, that would be accurate. Wanda, she just, here's what she said. She said, I'm behind you regardless of what you do, whatever you believe God has for you. That's what I believe God has for us. She said, my only request is just give me enough time to pack.
Wow.
And what a spirit.
And I'll tell you what's harder is you have grandkids.
We have grandkids. That's right.
Yeah.
So it was not just leaving our church. It was leaving, you know, our grandkids.
Yeah.
Whom we love more than life itself. Yeah. Our kids, we endure.
Yes.
Our grandkids, we love.
For the sake of the grandchildren, absolutely.
That's right.
So you then are, tell us how you got to Virginia. What was the stage there?
You know, I wasn't looking for Virginia. As you said, Al, I was just looking to get some equilibrium in my life. So, Lord, what do you have? I'm looking for added direction. And so I thought, well, I'll just preach for a year. So I filled the calendar, just decided I'm going to preach at different churches. I went there to Canada and really all across the country.
Yeah.
And what a blessing to see different ministries on a Sunday. Mm. You know, for years I've preached out at ministries, but I've never seen them on their day, Sunday. And I can see now in hindsight what God was doing. He was putting me in some of the best churches in our country and in Canada. He was putting me in these churches And I was seeing them on their special day, and it was an education for me. It was wonderful. And I had, you know, several ministries contact us immediately to say, hey, would you consider coming pastoring? There were several opportunities, but you know, opportunity does not equal obligation. And we really believe that God was shelving us in a good way for a season. There was a church in Virginia, and it's too long of a story for this podcast, right. But there was a church that pursued us, and two things that we had prayed when we resigned from Harvest. Number one, we're not going to ask for a meeting. I'm not going to ask anybody to preach for a meeting. God knows my number. He knows my address. And so if people want me to have me come, they'll call. And people graciously did that. I mean, so I have some of the best friends in the world that just looked out for us. And then number two, we're not going to pursue a church. I said, well, we're not going to create a resume. I did not. We're not going to go filling out questionnaires. We just didn't do it. We said, Lord, you know where we are. You know where we need to be. And so pursue us. Yeah. And the Lord graciously did.
I love it. You know? I love it.
I'm sure over the decades, you have counseled many pastors who are either discouraged, upset, feel like their ministries weren't progressing. Make the difference between knowing God is moving you versus maybe your emotions getting tangled, like you were saying.
Right. See, I would have, if we moved at a time when I was depressed or upset with something at Harvest or dealing with some kind of a problem. That was pervading the life of the church, I would feel as a shepherd that would be a poor time to leave. You know, I feel that God, as a rule, is going to move people in a way where the place where you have been is stable and protected. You know, a shepherd doesn't leave sheep in a vulnerable position.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. So I really felt that Harvest, and is today, one of the greatest churches I know, and their Pastor Mark Likens, is a dear friend of mine. As a matter of fact, we spoke earlier this week, and Harvest Baptist Church will see her greatest days in the future, and I believe that, and so I'm happy for that.
Amen. Good. To follow up on that, this podcast is generally going out, and we're trying to reach younger pastors, so you've got young men in Bible college or maybe an assistant pastor somewhere that is wondering, what do I do to make my next step? So what would be your general advice to somebody?
To a young man out of Bible college, here's what I would say. Bible college is vital, and I am a firm believer in a call to serve as a call to prepare. I believe that. But let me just say this. Don't view Bible college monolithically. And what I mean by that, as being your only source of education.
Amen.
What I have found, and this is just a general rule, what I have found is what a man does in his 20s is as preparatory for life's ministry as anything. Mm. You know, there seems to be a theme in the Bible of people starting their life ministry somewhere around the age of 30. You know, Jesus started at 30. John the Baptist started at 30. Samuel started at 30. The Levite started at 30. Yeah, I started Harvest. I was 29 going on 30. The pastor that took over for me was 29 going on 30. And I'm not saying that's magic, but there's just something about that. And God uses a myriad of different experiences in your 20s. For me, it was teaching in a Christian school. It was working at a group home. It was working at a car rental place. It was, you know, God uses all of these opportunities to prepare us, and you're only going to see the context in hindsight.
Yeah.
So I would say to a young man, don't rush it. Don't get ahead of yourself. Understand that all of this is preparation, even though you don't realize it at the moment.
That's awesome. Our time has slipped by us again, and we're going to pick this up again in our next cast, and we hope that you'll continue on. This is some valuable information that we're going to hang on to this for a long time, because there are a lot of guys our age, in our 50s, who are at that point where God is going to transition some guys. I think some guys make a mistake staying too long in a ministry, thinking I've got nowhere to go, or I don't know what I'll do, so we'll cling to what we've got. And it's not a help to the ministry. And so I think that'll be valuable to not only young men who are looking to pastor, but men that are ready to move from that pastoral position to another position for God. And it might not be in the pastorate either. It might be something else. But that's some great stuff. We're going to pick that up again. This is Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, and we're interested in your ministry. We're so glad that you've joined us today. I'm Pastor Al Stone.
This is Dan Wolven from Columbus, Ohio, and
Kurt Skelly, just a guest speaking today. Thanks for letting me be a part.
Hey, come back again.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.